ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभाम् व्यासशंकरमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरुपरंपराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम मोक्षः इज अदरवाइज कॉल्ड मुक्तिः और विमोचनम इज नथिंग बट हैप्पीनेस Even though the word moksha means freedom, it implies freedom from unhappiness. Therefore, it means happiness. The word happiness is the choiceless ultimate end of human life. And this happiness is something to be discovered, not to be attained, because happiness is nothing but expression of fullness, and the fullness is the nature of the reality. Therefore, discovery of the reality is the discovery of fullness, which is happiness. And reality is the reality or the truth of the universe. That without which this universe cannot exist at all, that which alone exists in the form of the universe is the reality of the universe. Just as water is the reality without which the ocean cannot exist at all. And that which alone exists in the form of the ocean is water. Similarly, that without which the universe, the cosmos, cannot exist at all. That which alone exists in the form of the cosmos is the reality. That reality in Sanskritam is implied by the term Brahma. Brahma, Brahma, if you say, what is Brahma? Reality is implied by the term Brahma. Why do I say reality is implied by the term Brahma, not indicated by the term Brahma? If I say spectacles, if I say the word spectacles indicates an object which is perceptible, objectifiable, isn't it? Mic indicates a given object. Laptop indicates a given object. If there is an object indicated by the word, then you can say, I can use the word indicating. But Brahma, when I say, that word does not indicate something which is an object, which is objectifiable. Non-objectifiable, non-perceptible, imperceptible, subtlest, abstract, intangible reality which is available for knowledge, recognition only as the truth of the subject of knowledge. Therefore, I say that Brahman implies the reality. Understand? Which means, implication means, it also negates that word Brahma, negates what the reality is not. By negating what the reality is not, it reveals what the reality is. Through negation, by negating what the reality is not, it reveals what the reality is. Therefore, through implication, if it implies the reality, it doesn't indicate the reality. How you understand later on, don't worry. I just want to, at least you know this, the reality of the universe, otherwise called, we use the term absolute reality or ultimate truth, param satyam. Param satyam or paramam satyam means absolute reality or ultimate truth which alone lends existence to the entire cosmos, all the experiences, all the transactions, all the functions, all that is happening, all this. That reality is implied by the term Brahma. And we do not know there is such a reality. We do not know that reality is recognizable. And we do not know that reality is not objectifiable, not available for objectification. It's not perceptible. If it is not perceptible, not objective, not objectifiable, how to recognize, how to arrive at, how to understand what that reality is, we do not know. But the scripture says, this fullness, this happiness, which all the human minds are endlessly, choicelessly, desperately, through all the pursuits, through all forms of objects of security, through all forms of pleasures, through everything, searching, through everything, the human minds are searching for this happiness, fullness. That happiness, fullness is in fact the very reality. Reality and fullness are not two different things. Reality and fullness are not two different things. Fullness and happiness are not two different things, which means reality is fullness, fullness is happiness. Reality is fullness, fullness is happiness. You have to remember that. Otherwise you can say reality is limitlessness. Limitlessness is fullness, fullness is happiness. how reality and fullness are one and the same. If you ask, sun and the light, are they two different things? No. Heat and the fire, are they two different things? We talk about heat, we talk about fire. We use two different terms, but are they two different things? No. We talk about sun and the light. We use the term and also, as though they are two different things. Sun and its light, fire and its heat. In fact, the expression and itself is something not appropriate. You know why? And can be used only if they are two different things. If one can exist independently without the other. But here, they are not even two different things. But for want, somehow, in day-to-day expressions, we do use such expression. No, day-to-day transactions, we use such expressions. Similarly here, therefore if I tell you, reality and fullness means, are not two different things. Like the fire and the heat are not two different things. You can ask me how reality and fullness are not two different things. Because fullness is the nature, swarupam of the reality. Fullness is the nature, swarupam of the reality. Nature means what? Intrinsic, unchangeable. Nature is called a swarupam. Can you change, convert the sun's nature of heat or light? Can you change the fire into cold fire? No. Why? Heat, it is the heat, the nature, intrinsic property, intrinsic nature of fire makes the fire, fire. What it is? Similarly, the nature is that which is unchangeable, is a permanent thing. That is the very essence, isn't it? The nature is, we call it what? No, swarupam. Similarly here, the fullness is the nature of the reality. Now, I'll give you the example. Because we do not know what is the reality of the universe. If we know what is the reality, what the reality of the universe is, then we'll know the nature of the reality being fullness. We need not make effort to know what fullness is. If you know the sun, you know the heat and brilliance. If you know the fire, you know the heat. If you know the reality, you know what the fullness means. I'll give you an example here. With reference to ocean, take the example of ocean. Ocean is a name of a given form, a big form, occupying big space. And this ocean, we say, cannot exist if we remove the one substance called water. Water is the substance. If I remove it, the substantive ocean will be meaningless. Therefore, I say, the ocean has no substantiality of its own without the water. Therefore, what it is the water which is the truth, the reality of the ocean. Now, that much you know, first step. And Now I say, if without the water, ocean cannot exist independently, ocean will disappear in fact. What it is, the water alone exists in the form of the ocean. When I say, existence of the water is the existence of the ocean. There is no existence of the ocean without the existence of the water. Therefore, the existence of the ocean is the water. First, you understood what? Water is the reality of the ocean. Now, your second step, you say, water is the existence of the ocean. Why? Where does the ocean exist? Is outside of water? The existence enjoyed by the ocean is the existence of the water. Therefore, water existence of the ocean is the water. Is it clear? Next. Because the existence, very existence of the ocean is water. Wherever you see the ocean, whichever drop of the ocean, wave of the ocean, ripple of the ocean, foam of the ocean, entire ocean is pervaded in and through, pervaded, filled by the water. Now, what effort does the water do in order to fill the ocean? Does the water need to make any effort to fill the ocean? No, which means being full of the ocean, being pervasive of the ocean, pervading the ocean, filling the ocean, being full of the ocean is the very nature of its reality, its existence, water. Its means oceans. Now you take the word being full. Make it a noun. What do you get? Fullness. Being full is equal to fullness. Is it clear? Therefore, with effortlessly, how the water is full of the ocean. Is it? Water is full of the ocean means water fills the ocean. Now, filling is not an action, it's very nature. Therefore, being full is the nature. Therefore, fullness is the nature of the water. I'm going to use an example, okay? You are still with me in example. We have not yet gone to the Drishtanta. We have to go to Darshtanta. Okay. We are still seeing the example. If you understand the ocean example, first, if the example becomes very clear, that is enough today. Is it clear? You understood the existence. How the reality is the existence of the reality, water is the existence of the ocean. You understood how the reality, water is of the nature of fullness. Is it clear? Now bring that example, extend it to the universe. At least there, with reference to ocean, you know, the H2O is of the, is the, which is the existence of the ocean, is of the nature of fullness with reference to ocean, is very clear. But here, with reference to the whole cosmos, which cosmos, which universe? Do you know where the universe begins? Do not know. Do you know when the universe began? We do not know. That is why inexplicably vast cosmos also cannot exist by itself. And there is the reality of this universe. That reality is X, which is implied by the term Brahma. Understand? Reality of the universe is implied by the term Brahma. And we need to know, discover what is that reality implied by the term Brahma. And we said that Brahman, the reality, is the existence of the universe. Think of the example, understand this based on that example. Reality of the universe, Brahman, existence of Brahman, the reality, is the existence of the universe. Therefore, existence of the universe is Brahman. Is it clear? Therefore, reality is implied by the term Satyam. Now, that reality, Brahman, which lends existence to the universe, which is the very existence of the universe, pervades in and through, fills in and through this entire cosmos. So, being full of the universe, filling the universe, pervading the universe, is the very nature of the reality Brahman. So all pervasiveness is nothing but fullness. Being full is the nature of the reality. Therefore, fullness is the nature of that reality. Now you know, the reality implied in reality of the universe, implied by the term Brahman, which is the existence of the universe, is of the nature of fullness. Now you need not go and check whether it fills the universe. You need not go and check whether it is the existence of the universe or not. All that you need to know is what is that reality, which is the existence of the universe, which is of the nature of fullness. Understand? What is that reality? And that reality, universe itself is inexplicably vast means. Imagine how big and how great that reality must be to lend exist one subtlest, abstract, intangible reality which holds, which lends existence to the whole cosmos. That we call in Tamil, we call Param Porul, Melana Porul, Param Brahma. We use this word. Absolute. Why? Because how big it must be, how. The word Brahma means big. Brahma means big. The reality is implied by the term Brahma. Which means what? All the things which are not big, which are not as big as Brahman, are negated. So what is that? Big means how big? The big is an adjective, simple adjective. It is comparable, isn't it? Any adjective implies comparability. How big is it, that reality? It's incomparably big. which means nothing in this universe, nothing you perceive, nothing you know, nothing you objectify is comparable to that Brahman. Therefore, incomparably big. If it is incomparably big, how big it is? If it is incomparable, means how? If you ask, it is limitlessly big. Incomparably big means what? It is limitlessly big. Limitlessly big means what? That reality, which is incomparably, limitlessly big, is free from three limitations. There are only three possible limitations. What are those limitations? And every object in this universe, everything, you can tell me anything. Every object, indicate by any word, everything is subject to those threefold limitations. But the reality is free from those three limitations. What are they? Free from time limitation. Therefore, time limitation means reality is not bound by time, not subject to time. Which means, what do you mean by saying time-wise limited? Being time-wise limited means having the beginning. Have anything which has a beginning does not exist before it begins. Therefore, it is time-wise limited. Anything which has a beginning has definitely an end. Therefore, it is what? After the end, it will not be. Therefore, it exists only in a given span of time. Therefore, it is time-bound. Understand? Whereas, reality is no beginning. Therefore, it has no end. Because it has no end, there was never a time it was not there. There will never be a time it will not be. Which means, it is always beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, always. Why it is beginningless? Because it is not created. Because it is not created. Why it is not created? Uncreated? Because it has no cause. Anything which has a cause has a beginning. It has no cause, it is causeless, uncaused, therefore beginningless. Because beginningless, it is also endless, therefore it is always, therefore timeless, eternal. Therefore, you have to say step by step what I have said. You have to remember. Timeless reality is timeless, free from time limitation. You will understand this later on in following classes elaborately when I unfold it. Not now, okay? I'll stop only with this much. And now I tell you, time-wise limitless. Not only time-wise limitless, spatially also is limitless, because the very space itself is part of the cosmos. isn't it? The space, where is the space? Time and space are two factors which form part of the cosmos. And which, when you say reality, is that reality lends existence to everything in the cosmos, means reality lends existence to the very space and time, which means reality pervades time and space, means time does not have existence outside of the reality. Space does not have existence outside of the reality. Understand? And this reality is all pervasive. There's no place, no space where the reality is not. There cannot be space without reality. Why? The truth of every wave is water means there's no wave without water. So there cannot be any object in the world without the reality means what? The space cannot be there without the reality. Therefore, reality alone appears in the form of space when you say the space, reality pervades the very all-pervasive space. Therefore, reality is free from spatial limitation. And one more thing. The reality being the existence, the truth, the reality of everything here. I again come to the example, water and the ocean. Because water, the reality, pervades the entire ocean, pervades every wave in and through. There is not even one wave, one drop, one ripple, one small, one bubble, which is not the water. Everything in the ocean is water only. Therefore, nothing in the water, a water, a bubble, a foam, a ripple, a wave, nothing can limit the water. Wave is different from the bubble and ripple and foam. Foam is different from everything else. Drop is different from everything else. Therefore, being different from something is being limited by the something. But everything is what? A foam is water, wave is water, ripple is water, entire ocean is water. Everything is water. Therefore, there's nothing in that ocean which can limit. Why? Nothing is different. Water is not. Listen now. Nothing is different from. Nothing is different from the water. Water is different from everything else, but nothing is different from the water. Similarly here, when you say reality pervades everything here means, there is nothing which is not the reality. Space is reality. Time is reality. All the elements are reality. All the elementals are reality. All the living things are reality. All the non-living things are reality. The mobile beings are reality, immobile beings are reality, which is not the reality here. Everything is reality here. Therefore, there is nothing which is not the reality. Therefore, nothing can limit the reality. No object in this world, in this universe, is different from the reality to be limited. Understand now? For reality to be limited by that object. Therefore, reality is free from object limitation. I'll tell you again, object limitation means one object not being the other, one object being different from the other is being limited by another object. Mic is not the laptop, laptop is not the mic, these two are not the mat, mat is not the wall, wall is not the plant, plant is not the body. Each picture is not the other picture. Every object being different from every object is limited by the other object. Understand? They're all different from every object. But you cannot say, with reference to water, water is, can water be limited by the wave or the ocean or the foam or the drop or the ripple? Nothing. Why? Nothing exists. Nothing is different from the water. They don't have independent existence outside of the water to be different from the water. Different means it should have independent existence also. This mic can exist even if you take the laptop away. Is it clear? Therefore, it is different. Therefore, it is, one is limited by the other. They are all mutually limiting each other. Everything is limited by everything else. Because everything else is different from everything else. But reality, come to the reality, no, reality is not limited by anything else, because everything is ultimately the reality only. Hope you got it. Got it? Very subtle things I'm teaching today. Therefore, reality is free from object limitation also. There are three possible limitations: time limitation, spatial limitation, and object limitation. Being free from these threefold limitations is being time-wise, object-wise, spatially limitless. Is being limitless is equal to being limitless is limitlessness. Is it clear now? Limitlessness is the nature of the reality. Limitlessness is the nature of the reality. Therefore, reality is limitlessly big. Because it is reality is limitlessly, incomparably, limitlessly big, it is implied by the term Brahma. Brihatvat Brahma. Got it? Now we say we have no problem. With reference to the whole cosmos, what is the reality? Is there a reality? Of course reality is. There's no doubt. Why there's no doubt? Universe is. Reality is, therefore the universe is. The universe it is itself is the proof. The reality is. Why? Because reality alone appears in the form of the universe. Reality is the very existence of the universe. Do you all see the reality? Of course, we are perceiving reality in the form of the existence of the universe. Hereafter, don't search. Okay? Don't go and search. Don't doubt. But do I see the reality or not? Abstract. Of course, you are all the time, you are perceiving, you are experiencing, you are objectifying the reality. In what form? In what form? That's the question. In what form do you see the water in the ocean? In the form of the existence of the ocean. You see the water in the form of the existence of the ocean. So also you are perceiving the reality in the form of the existence of the ocean. And that you have no doubt now that reality is of the nature of limitlessness. That reality which is implied by the term Brahman, because it is incomparably limitlessly big, because it is free from all threefold limitations, that reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is the existence of the universe, which is of the nature of fullness. Understand? What is that reality? We do not know. If we know what the reality is, you know reality is. Why? You are seeing the reality in the form of existence of the universe. You understand the reality must be pervasive of the universe, is fullness with reference to the universe. It's of the nature of fullness. That reality, if you know what fullness is, what existence of the universe is. If you know the reality, you will know what is the that which is in the form of existence of the universe. What is that which is of the nature of fullness? Once you know what happiness is. This is called discovery of fullness. How do you discover fullness? Happiness? Happiness is already there as the very nature of the reality. So you need not attain happiness. You need to discover happiness by knowing what the reality is. And our scriptures say that reality is available for recognition in your own mind. Is available for recognition only in the mind. Only in the mind. Not as an object externally or internally, but as the very truth of the subject of knowledge. The very truth of, very swarupam of the knower, the searcher of happiness. There is a person searching for happiness. Searching. Where is the happiness? The searcher is happiness. This is the line. The searcher is happiness. Therefore, now you have to search. We have to, what now? we have to know who that searcher is, what that searcher is. Who is the searcher? What is that searcher? Now we all will say what now? Of course, all of us are searchers of happiness. We are all searchers of happiness. All the human beings are searchers of happiness. Everyone will say, I am the searcher of happiness. I am a seeker. There is another word they use, seeker. I use the word searcher. People say seeker. I am the seeker of happiness. I am the searcher of happiness. I search for happiness, therefore I am the searcher. I seek for happiness, therefore I am the seeker. Every one of us will say, I am the seeker, I am the seeker, I am the seeker. The Shastram says, you the seeker are happiness, you the searcher are happiness, you the searcher are happiness. Therefore, to discover happiness, choicelessly, I have to discover what I am, who I am. I am the searcher, I am the seeker, therefore I need to discover what I am, who I am, in order to discover what happiness is, what the reality is, what the truth of the universe is. Therefore, self-knowledge is the knowledge of the truth of the universe. Knowledge of the truth of the universe is knowledge of what happiness is. Knowledge of what happiness is, in fact, attainment of moksha. Freedom from limitations. Now the question comes, why am I seeking happiness if I am happiness? Because there is unhappiness. Why there is unhappiness? The unhappiness is because of innumerable, countless problems I go through in life. Many obstacles, many hindrances, many impediments, many, many unpleasant situations, undesirable situations, ups and downs, pairs of opposites. Never the life is the life same. There are problems. Why these problems are? Shastram says all these problems are because of the fundamental problem. There is one common human fundamental problem which I introduced earlier in my earlier classes. To continue with my lessons, I just want to remind you again today, because without having understood the fundamental problem being yourself, you cannot find yourself being the solution. unless you understand that you are the solution, you will never make effort to understand what self-knowledge is. Actually, where is the problem lying? Where does the problem lie? Problem is in one place, and you go and, you know, try to solve the problem elsewhere. Where the problem is, there the solution should be found. Isn't it? There is a small story I heard from many Swamis, our own Swamis. There was an old lady living in one of the remote Indian villages. And she was living in a hut, thatched roofed hut. You know, in villages where there are huts, nowadays you can't find such things. Maybe I'm talking about those days. They don't have, you know, that time she did not have the electric lights, lamps and lights like this. They used to have only some, you know, kerosene lamps, small lamps. So inside the hut it was very dark. They were always, now she used to sit in front of the, near the door. And because when they have the rice in their small baskets, and they remove the stones from the rice to clean this rice before they cook. So she sat and she was cleaning and she was removing the stones from the rice. As she was doing it, she had an itching, you know, near the ear. So she was just scratching her ear like this. And even though Indian women, you know, poor village women also, they have real gold earrings, they wear. It's a very precious jewelry for them. As she was scratching, the screw got loose and then it fell down. And in front of the hut, in the front, she had sand actually spread, not a small stones and things. So the screw fell down. So her earring, she lost, once the earring she lost. It fell down. Somehow, she missed it. She lost it. It got somewhere hidden in that sand or some stones. Because such as, you know, she couldn't entirely find it. And it got dark. It got dusky like this evening. There's no electric light. It was dusky. She couldn't really find it. She couldn't see. Then she was so worried. And then little ahead, there was a street. And on the streets, there were street lights. And she went there, and under the street light, she started searching. She was searching. She bent, she was searching. She was looking for that. She was so desperate. She was very upset, and she was really looking like this. Then one person came. He thought, this old lady, she looks very old. And the way she is searching for something, it must be something valuable. She's so desperate. Let me go and search and let me take it. He thought the other person searching means nobody will search for something very simple and ordinary. Isn't it? Something valuable it must be. Therefore, valuable. Okay. Therefore, that person did not even ask this woman what she was searching for. why she was searching for. Nothing. Why? Because he didn't want the other person to know that he was going to search, because he wanted to take before her something valuable. So she started searching. The other person came, other person also started searching. Oh, 3-4 people are searching very desperately something. It must be really something very precious. Let me join the group. Let me search. In case I find it before them, I will have it. He started searching. Like this, in very short time, all the passers-by started searching. There's a big group of gang of people searching under the street light. Then one person came, at least it was different from the group, no? Like other people like you, different from the entire Beckenham inhabitants. No, little different. He stopped. What is this? What is that? What are that you're all searching? We're all so desperately searching. He asked one other person, oh, I don't know, when I was coming, I saw these people searching, so I joined them. And he asked the other person, do you know what you are searching? No, I don't know. I saw these people searching, we joined them. Do you know? No. Why? When I came, I saw these people searching and asked the other person, hey, you were the one who was searching first. No, when I came, I saw this old lady was searching something. So I started searching for myself. Oh, then this man went and asked that old lady. None of these people in the gang knew what he or she was searching for. Not knowing what they were searching for, they were all searching. And this fellow asked that person, that woman, lady, old lady, Amma, what were you searching? She knew what she was searching for. One person knew what she was searching for, not anybody else. She said, you know, I was searching for my really precious golden earring which I lost. Did you? Where did you lose it? I've been searching, I couldn't find it. She said, you know, I was sitting in front of my house, I was cleaning my rice, and then there I lost it. And he asked, you lost your earring in front of your house, but why are you searching on the roadside? She said, it is very dark there, there's no light. On the streets, there is light, so I'm searching under the light. Do you get what I'm saying? That old lady knew what she was searching for, but she did not know where she should search for. Others were all searching. They did not know what they were searching for. They did not know where they should search also. Similarly, we are all here, human beings. All the time, we are searching. What are we searching for? We do not know. Where we should search it for also. If you do not know what you are searching for, then how can you know where you can search it for? Shastram stops you. Come on, you are pursuing all these things. You are pursuing artha. What are you pursuing it for? The security. What do you want security for? You know, for happiness. That's what you are searching for. What do you want all these pleasures for? Happiness. That's what you are searching for. What do you want to live a life of dharma for? For happiness. So what do you want? What are you pursuing ultimately through all of them, through security, through pleasures, through dharma? happiness. You know, you are searching for happiness, but you do not know where you have to search it for. Shastram tells, come on. You know, it is very you. Similarly here, we do not know what the problem is. Understand? What the problem is, you should know. And that, where you lost it, there alone you should search for it. You do not know where you lost it. You do not know exactly what the problem is. Where the problem is, there you should find the solution. So what is the fundamental problem, you do not know. You think of all other problems and you try to solve all the problems. Trying to solve all the problems is like, you know, searching for something and where it isn't available. First, to find out the fundamental problem is, you know, you entertain, you know, there is a notion, I am small, I am insignificant, I am inadequate. This notion, the notion is the problem. Why? Because this notion is a wrong notion. The notion you entertain about yourself is a wrong notion. I am small, I am inadequate, I am insignificant, I am unhappy, I am a mortal, I am going to die one day. All the notions you entertain about yourself are wrong notions. Entertaining the wrong notion is the problem. The wrong notion is because you mistake, your perception of yourself is wrong, therefore there is a wrong notion. Your perception of your own self is erroneous, wrong. Therefore, the notion you have about yourself is also wrong. Unless and until you correct the error in perception of yourself, there is no way of correcting the wrong notion you have about yourself. The erroneous perception of yourself is what? You mistake the body, you mistake the mind, you mistake the sense powers, mistake the powers of organs of actions, you mistake this body, mind, sense complex for the self. Why? Because you do not know what you are. So you do not know, you know you are, thank God. You know doubtlessly you are, but you do not know what you are. You do not know that you do not know what you are. Therefore, helplessly, you mistake yourself for what you are not. This mistaking what you are not for you. Understand? Is the cause for erroneous self-perception. Erroneous perception of yourself is because of the self-ignorance. Self-ignorance is called ajnanam and erroneous self-perception is called adhyasaha. Ajnanam is a Sanskrit term. Self-ignorance is called Ajnanam. And erroneous self-perception is called Adhyasaha. And taking the non-self for the self, taking the non-I, the body, mind, sense complex for I, which means having I sense in the body, mind, sense complex. Why do you have I sense in the body, mind, sense complex? Because you do not know what you are. Therefore, you have I sense in the body, mind, sense complex. Is called Dehatma Buddhihi. Dehe Atma Buddhihi, Dehatma Buddhihi. Not that you want to have Dehatma Buddhi, helplessly, it is not wrong to have it, okay? But it is helplessly you have it, innocently, unknowingly, you have. Choicelessly, you have Dehatma Buddhi. Understand? This having I sense in the body, mind, sense complex, this Dehatma Buddhi is taking the body, mind, sense complex for I, the self. Therefore, this Deha is called Anatma. Okay, anything other than the self, I is what? Anatma. I is Atma. And anything other than I is Anatma. And this body, mind, sense complex, Anatma, is taken to be Atma. Therefore, what happens? This taking the Anatma for Atma is called Adhyasaha. You see yourself through the body, mind, sense complex. Then what happens? The body, everything in this universe has limitations. Just now we saw. Everything in this universe is subject to all limitations. Body is subject to limitations. Mind is subject, it has its own limitations. All is subtle and gross. Or everything is subject to all limitations. Therefore, what happens now? Because you mistake the body, mind, sense complex for the I, the Atma, the self, mistake the Anatma for the Atma, I, the limitations of the Anatma are taken to be your limitations. Understand? You take the Anatma for the Atma, I. I is actually Atma. I is equal to Atma. When the limitations of the Atma being mistaken for the limitations of, not only you mistake the Anatma for the Atma, you mistake the limitations of the Atma to be the limitations of the limitation Anatma to be the limitations of Atma, which is called a superimposition. Adhyaropaha. I taught you the word Ajnanam, then Adhyasaha, then Adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha means what? Superimposition of the limitations of Anatma, body, mind, sense complex upon the Atma. You transfer the limitations because of ignorance. Not really. Okay, because you take it. Anyway, Because you transfer the limitations of the anatma to the atma, it's called superimposition of limitations, which is called adhyaropaha. Once the limitations are superimposed upon the atma, then what will you say? Then you have a notion. What is the notion? I am a limited individual. I am a limited individual with all limitations. And I am a limited individual with all limitations is the notion which you entertain about yourself, which is a wrong notion. And this one notion gives rise to all the wrong notions. I am small, I am insignificant, I am inadequate, I'm unhappy, I'm a mortal. Shastram says, it is all the notions you entertain about yourself are wrong. 3 into 6, 51. Is it right or wrong? Is it right? Wrong. It is as wrong as this. Our notion, how wrong it is to say that. The notion we entertain about ourselves is as wrong as this. Understand? Which means, as wrong means what now? Absolutely wrong. That's what I wanted to say. The wrong notion you entertain about yourself is ahankaraha. The day, last class, when I taught you the buddhi, manamha, ahankaraha, I said, the knowledge I am is ahankara. Remember? When I taught you the mind, that last class, when we analyzed the mind, I talked to you about four types of thoughts. There, I taught you, we saw the mind, intellect, memory, and ego, the ahankara. Then I said, the knowledge I am is also thought. Understand? The knowledge I am is a thought which is ahankara, I said. It's okay? Now I say, in this context, the knowledge I am is the basis without which you cannot have any wrong notion about yourself. I am, you know, I know I am. But what do I know I am? I am a mortal. Anything you add to this aham, the knowledge I am, is what? Wrong notion you have about yourself. I am is knowledge. Ahankara and vritti. When you add anything, I am a mortal, I am inadequate, I am unhappy, I am small. Anything you add to I am, what now? Becomes the notion about yourself. The notion you entertain about yourself is a wrong notion. The erroneous notion you entertain about yourself is called ahankaraha. Clear? And Shastram says, it is this ahankara, okay, it is not to be given up, to be corrected. Understand? it need not be, cannot be given up. It is to be corrected. What is correction of ahankara? The notion, the wrong error in the notion you have about yourself needs correction. Correction of the wrong notion you have about yourself requires right perception of yourself, which is possible only if ignorance is, self-ignorance is resolved. Therefore, where is the problem? You are the problem. You are the solution. Self-ignorance is the root cause of the problem. Self-knowledge is the solution. It is this knowledge in which alone you can correct the wrong notion. Correction of the wrong notion you have about yourself is freedom. Notional correction is freedom. Erroneous, understand now, erroneous notion is bondage. Right notion is freedom. I am, you have to retain, remove what all the notions you have. What should be filled in there? Brahma Asmi is the right knowledge, which is moksha. So we'll continue next class. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.